What is the meaning of a time to awake that we find in Romans 13:11? That and much more is what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We are in an exciting series, and we're getting close to the end of it, but it's called 100 Faith Alone Verses. It's based on a book that will be coming out soon by Dr. Bob Wilkin with the same title, 100 Faith Alone Verses in the Bible. So let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. We are going through some chapters. We're giving a preview of a book that we hope to publish this summer, summer 2020, by Bob. It'll be called 100 Faith Alone Verses. Basically, the book goes over 100 verses, some extremely clear, some maybe a little more tricky, that Bob believes teaches that salvation is by simply believing in Jesus. And there are three elements, aren't there, to make a passage qualify as clear?
Right. It needs to talk about believing or faith. It needs to talk about Jesus as the object of faith. And it needs to talk about salvation or everlasting life or justification, our eternal relationship with God, all three elements. The verse we're going to look at today talks about two of those three, but the third, that is Jesus Christ, is implicit. It's understood. But some of these I put starting in chapter 74 and following because they don't explicitly mention all three elements.
All right, so the first 73 chapters of this book are clear verses.
Right.
This is amazing because so many churches don't believe that salvation is by simply believing.
Lewis Berry Chafer, who was the founder of the seminary I went to, Dallas Theological Seminary, he famously said that there were 150 verses in the Bible that teach that a person is saved or justified by faith alone apart from works, but he didn't list them. About a year ago, I wrote an article for our magazine in which I listed 100 faith alone verses. And you suggested, okay, great, now why don't you turn that into a book?
Yeah, that's right, so you can thank me.
Now, I've been working on it. I'm at chapter 96 now, so I'm almost done. Hopefully by the end of this week or next week, I'll have the first draft done.
And by the way, this is all being written during this enforced COVID quarantine.
Right.
So there's kind of a hidden blessing, I guess, for writers. You have to be at home.
Right.
So what else are you going to do? Well, you get to write. We get to do that because you guys keep listening and you guys support us financially. And we really appreciate that. Well, let's talk about a verse that fits in the not unclear, but maybe a little more tricky category, and that's Romans 13:11.
You know, this is a very, very interesting verse. And as you read it for people, I think they'll hear right away that this is a different sort of verse.
Okay, let's see. Romans 13:11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. All right, so let's see here. It needs three things to be clear.
Right.
It needs believing.
Right.
And it does mention believing.
Right.
When we first believe. And it needs to refer to salvation. And it does refer to salvation, but now our salvation is near. But Jesus is absent from this passage.
Right. He's not mentioned specifically. It's implicit. Obviously, anybody who knows Paul's letter to the Romans knows he believes it's by faith in Jesus. Also, I would say even the word salvation here is not specifically talking about justification or everlasting life. I think this is talking about deliverance from wrath.
Okay,
so not so much the wrath that we experience here and now, but the wrath that's to come in the tribulation.
This is an interesting point because we've mentioned this in previous episodes. Salvation in Romans is not always eternal salvation.
Right.
In fact, is it ever eternal salvation?
I don't think it ever is.
So this might be a surprise to some people because they think about if you want to know about eternal salvation, you go to Paul. And if you especially want to know, you go to Romans.
Right.
And you're kind of turning that on its head.
Right. I would say if you come to Romans, you're looking for justification if you want to talk about eternal destiny. Now, some of these salvation verses, like this one, include that I have everlasting life because he's talking about escaping the coming tribulation. Same thing, Romans 11:26, then all Israel will be saved. Well, that includes the fact they're going to be born again, but it's broader than that. They're going to be saved from Gentile oppression. They're going to be saved from the armies that surround Jerusalem.
Okay.
And so it's bigger than that. And the same thing here. this would include regeneration, but it's broader than that. Obviously, our regeneration can't be nearer now than we first believed, right? We're as born again today as we'll ever be.
Right.
Now, we can experience eternal life more fully in the future, but we're still as born again as we'll ever be. We're as saved as we'll ever be. But this is talking about a different type of salvation. But notice he starts out, it is high time to awake out of sleep. Maybe we could start there.
Okay, so who's sleeping here and what does that mean to sleep?
I think this is talking, sleeping here is talking about moral lethargy. And you find this, Paul talking about this here. You also find it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where he uses a word for sleep to refer to moral lethargy.
So wait, what does that mean?
Moral lethargy basically means one who is morally asleep, morally not really paying attention to how they should live.
So they're not being, what, intentional Christians? Or are they taking their salvation for granted? Are they not really, what, they're not reading their Bibles? They're not going to church? I mean, what are they doing?
Well, here's what Morris says in his commentary. Quote, slumber will denote a lethargic Christian life, unquote. Paul says, and do this knowing the time. Believers should know the time. That is, we're in the last days. Christ could come at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Jesus said we're to watch, Matthew 24. Paul picks up on that in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians and says we're to watch, we're not to be asleep. Well, the opposite of watching is being what Morris calls lethargic.
Yeah.
And someone who's lethargic is someone who lays around, right?
Right.
Someone who's not doing much of anything. So in terms of your question, I can't say specifically, does this mean they're not reading the Bible much, they're not going to church much? I think what you could say is they're not doing much for the Lord. They're not producing much fruit for the Lord that's pleasing to the Lord. They may be doing some, but they're basically lazy.
Okay, and they've gotten lazy because they're not really expecting him to come soon?
Right. They've taken their mind off of the time.
And so Paul's writing within 20 years of the resurrection?
We're looking at somewhere in 20 to a little bit more than that years after Jesus raised and ascended.
And so, I mean, if that was a problem 20 years after Jesus' resurrection,
how about almost 2,000
years, right?
Can you believe in the year 2033 it'll be 2,000 years?
Wow.
Okay, now here's what Phillips says. He's talking about, since the end is near, we ought to arouse ourselves from sleep to, quote, wake up to reality. And I think that is a good point. We need to wake up to the fact that Christ is about to return. And Osborne, in his commentary on Romans, sees an allusion to the judgment seat of Christ. He says, quote, Christians will be delivered and vindicated, but they also will be accountable for their conduct. He's seeing that, look, what's coming ahead is a time of accountability. I would argue that what he's talking about when we wake out of sleep is we realize these are the last days. The rapture could occur at any moment, and what follows the rapture is the judgment seat of Christ.
Mm.
And so we should be morally watchful, awake, alert, attentive to pleasing God. And that, of course, leads to the next part of this, which is now our salvation is nearer.
I read this and I think, well, it wasn't that much nearer, because 2,000 years later, he's still not here.
Right. Today, as we read this, are we thinking it's nearer than when they first believed or nearer when we first believed?
Right.
The answer is yes.
Right. I guess every day it's a little bit nearer.
Right. The thing is, from the Lord's standpoint, Peter says in 2 Peter 3, with the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day. So we're just coming up on 2 days since Jesus' ascension.
Right.
It's really quite near, and it could well be this year, could be very soon. Lopez comments concerning Romans 1:16, which is a verse that talks about salvation. The connection of verse 16 with verse 18 becomes vitally important, since salvation and wrath are linked in this way. From the beginning of the letter, Paul defines salvation as deliverance from God's present wrath brought about by sins.
Mm.
And we talked about that. But then Lopez adds concerning Romans 13:11, salvation here parallels the salvation in 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Both contexts are similar. Therefore, in light of a believer's deliverance from impending tribulation wrath Paul commands them to live in a holy manner.
Tribulation wrath. So there's a present wrath that God shows upon sin right now. And there's a future tribulation wrath. What is that?
Which is still wrath in time. There will be 7 years during which God will pour out his wrath on mankind, but the church will be gone because we'll be raptured. Here's what Doug Moo says in his commentary on Romans. The text now before us shifts the perspective, encouraging Christians to look at the present in light of the future. I like the way he says that. Yeah. He goes on, for while transferred by God's grace into the new realm of righteousness and life, Christians still await full and final salvation. And he compares 5, 9, and 10, which he says is the redemption of the body. Compare Romans 8, 23. And Morris similarly says, Paul writes elsewhere, we eagerly await a Savior from there, from heaven, Philippians 3, 20. And it is something like that he is saying here. There is the thought of eager expectation and the thought that the fullness of all that salvation means is yet to come. Mm. Both Moo and Morris don't talk about the rapture, and they're not dispensationalists, so they're probably not quite seeing this the same way Lopez or I would see it. But the truth is they're getting the point that he's saying, look, there's something to come, which is a deliverance to come, and they're right. And notice he ends by saying, then when we first believed. Well, that's where he's bringing in the point of believing, and he means believing in Jesus Christ.
So that first belief is that initial point of salvation,
right?
That justification salvation.
Right, and so this is a faith alone verse because it's saying that our deliverance from the tribulation, which includes, of course, the regeneration we have now, that deliverance from the tribulation is nearer now than when we first believed in Christ for everlasting life.
Right.
And so it's a faith alone verse, but it also brings in rapture truth, which is directly related.
Well, thanks a lot, Bob. If you're interested in learning more about these faith alone verses, be sure to check out prior episodes at iTunes.com or Stitcher or certainly at our website. And look out for Bob's book, 100 Faith Alone Verses. It should be available summer 2020.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow in the program, we're going to talk about the requirement to be watchful for the rapture. You're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.